I want to welcome everyone this afternoon to ABQ Connect. We're on the phone this afternoon with Dr. K.P. Yohannan. He is the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believers Church in South Asia, and he's also the founder of the amazing Gospel for Asia. Dr. K.P., how are you today?
I'm doing well, Jim. You know, just been reading a lot more about the poverty and the suffering in China and Bangladesh and India and those countries, I just feel once again kind of numb or in shock of the suffering of the people. But personally, I'm doing well, yet having the sorrow when I think about the suffering.
Dr. Yohannan, you know, of course, in America, we're all talking about the stress of the stay-at-home order and all of these things, and we seem to, I have to say it, almost exaggerate how awful it is to stay home. But very few of us are thinking about the fact that in South Asia, you just mentioned China, people are waking up and they're not worried about the stay-at-home order. They're worrying about putting food on their table.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there was a photograph I saw a few months ago in New York Times. Their reporter went to Bangladesh and shot a picture from a slum. 18 people crowded into a hut in the slum. It's not a house, it's just one room. Children, mother, grandparents, everybody. And the question was, where are they going to hide? What is quarantine? And that's a story. And not only these people can't go anywhere, but, you know, many of them make their living by begging on the streets or working a daily job, which makes 50 cents per day. Now that is all gone. And as you said, you know, they wake up with empty stomach, children crying, screaming, and, you know, they don't have even energy to speak. It is not imagination. And here we are in the United States or North America or England, we are complaining about we got locked down in air-conditioned, beautiful three-bedroom homes and refrigerator with the food and everything else. You know, I am amazed by the extreme contrast. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty or condemn themselves because of that. You know, I don't understand some of these things, but we do have a moral responsibility because we are linked with every human being on planet Earth because we all are created in the image of God, whether in China or America or England or India, and especially as Christians. We need to pray, oh God, break our hearts with the pain and suffering of the world that God feels. And we are the answer, really, to the suffering. That's what Jesus told us. You feed the poor. Mm.
Dr. Yohannan, last we visited, we talked a little bit about your COVID crisis response in Kerala, which is an area of South India where you're from. And you made a statement to me that has stuck in my mind and has motivated me personally to give to Gospel for Asia. And you said this, you said that starvation is way worse than the coronavirus will ever be in that area. And so you're so worried about starvation, and you've already expressed that on the program this morning.
Yeah, you know, I've been saying it my interview, whether it's in England or here, everywhere, and publicly saying, really, Jim, the coronavirus crisis is only 5%. 95% is the result. That is starvation. Like, people can see that on YouTube somewhere, a mother throwing five of her children into the river, killing them all. When she was questioned by the social worker or police, her reply was, I can't watch anymore my children starving and crying, and I cannot do anything to feed them. It is better to end their life. And she was going to kill herself too. And that is not an isolated story. Suicide rate is so high. By the way, Kerala, where I come from, was born, it is maybe the best place in India to live for a time like this, but north of India and to Bangladesh and to Nepal and other countries in that region and Africa, China. Oh my God, you cannot imagine the suffering of the people in the rural communities. And this is why GFA World, we launched years ago, every year, a major program which we call Christmas catalog or critter campaign, which means we are able to provide assistance to the poor people who are dying and get them out of poverty. Basically, it is not, you know, giving them fish every day, but teaching them to fish so that they will not have to be in suffering and poverty continually. That's what, you know, the problem is there, but also an opportunity to show Christ's love is much greater now than ever before.
Well, and I'm excited about the Critter Campaign. This is actually my second year with the station, and I was involved last year. And I understand, KP, that you, just short of 300,000 people received gifts like chickens, lambs, goats, water buffaloes, cows. And these are gifts that Gospel for Asia buys locally, and that helps the vendors in those areas. And then you take these animals out to these families and communities. And I want to have you talk about that in a minute, but I want to give you maybe a silly example, but I'm kind of amazed by it. I live in a small village outside of Albuquerque called Corrales, and we have a number of people that have chickens. And one of the families has five or six chickens, and they have so many eggs that these chickens are producing, they are literally giving away these eggs to their neighbors. And eggs are not terribly expensive here, but that's just a small example of how miraculous the Critter Campaign with Gospel for Asia can change not only a family, but a whole community.
It is true. You know, Jim, I have so many classic stories, but one I remember in one of the largest slums in South Asia, where 5 million people live in the slums, there was a lady in her early 30s that decided that she was going to go into prostitution in the red light district. For a reason, she had no more money to support her two young girls, and her husband left her long ago as a drug addict. And it was that day, that particular day, two of our Sisters of Compassion, you know, like Sisters of, you know, Mother Teresa sisters, is our own workers. And two sisters met her, and she broke down and told these sisters her story and plight. And by God's mercy, they immediately put her children in our Bridge of Hope schools free and teaching them, but got her a sewing machine as part of our Critter Campaign and helped her to learn how to stitch clothes for people. And believe it or not, a miracle. Today, that woman has trained 15 other people getting out of poverty, and she didn't have to go into prostitution. And all we did was buy the sewing machine, which is not electric, but you know, it's a manual thing, very inexpensive, or rather. And so are the stories of a family that actually was going to, you know, end their life. The man actually was in deep poverty, and our brothers came, and of course, we work with the government officials in each community to find out who are the most poor, broken people, and gave him a buffalo, and the man was so in shock, broke down weeping, saying that, "I never knew there is a God who loves me and cares for me." And that buffalo became the reason for him to get out of poverty and help other people in the community. So this is a continuous miracle that every year we experience, not one or two people, but hundreds of thousands of people in South Asia.
We are visiting this afternoon with Dr. K.P. Yohannan. He is the founder and the director of Gospel for Asia. Amazing ministry. And we're talking about the Critter Campaign. The Critter Campaign allows donors to buy things like chickens, $11 for two chickens, so a family can have eggs and fresh meat, and they can grow their own food. Really, a lamb is $65, goats $140, a water buffalo, which is a very powerful animal used to plow fields. They produce milk, and these are things that we can contribute to Gospel for Asia for. Gospel for Asia has people throughout India and sources for all of these animals and can provide these animals to families and communities. And you've just mentioned the miraculous thing that this particular woman experienced, just receiving a sewing machine. Dr. Yohanan, I want to ask you about your team. You've been training up pastors. You've been training up ministry workers throughout, like, the country of India. And this gives you a particularly effective means at reaching the community with the love of Christ.
Yeah, this may be our greatest strength. You know, by the grace of God, we have 15,000-plus workers now scattered throughout 16 nations. And, like, the massive earthquake that took place in Nepal, devastating hundreds of villages. We were the first people within hours, our churches and workers responding to help and restore people and pray with people, communicate the love of Christ. And so our strength really is that we don't have to fly an airplane from the United States with the food and supply, this and that. As a matter of fact, we find in every case, like coronavirus season, our workers will go to a huge shop, you know, rich business people, and literally beg them and say, look, our people are dying here. Would you please help us? And they will say, you can have free food or you pay our cost and we'll give it to you. And this, so we have over 1,000 congregations now throughout Asia that are working among the coronavirus suffering poverty stricken people. And so this critical campaign, Jim, is basically Jesus Christ came in this world not just for Americans or Indians. He came for the whole world, and the poor always hear him, and he fed the hungry. And this Christmas season, what other way we can celebrate this Christmas than thinking about over 2 billion people that in our world that never heard his name and in poverty, and give a gift in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's like, Franklin Graham is doing that, shoebox for Christmas. Mm-hmm. What we do, we actually care for the whole family to pull them out of poverty in the name of Jesus during the Christmas season, giving these gifts.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and it's sustainable, and it brings communities together. This is something that I think Americans always think about when it involves animals. We kind of think about animals and caring for them and loving them. And that's really what happens in India. These animals become not only part of a family, but part of a community, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, return to tribalism is becoming very significant now, because small communities are sticking together to survive. Instead of cash and money, they help each other. So what we do, we actually, based on the situation of a community, our people go into the community, not just carry for one individual. That's where the government officials and the village leader comes in, and we say, look, we are here not to impose upon anyone. If you please tell us what we can do to help if there is a need. And then, my goodness, it's an amazing thing that there'll be 100 families list made up that are in desperate need or dying or suffering. And then we work with them secure these animals and buy these machines. We go to the factory and say, look, could you give us 1,000 sewing machines for the cheapest price you can give us, because we are giving away free to poor families. So it is you know, it's an amazing thing how kind people are. And I was saying to somebody in England the other day over the radio, I think, I don't know. I've been all over the world. I do not know any people, Jim, in the whole world that is more kind, gracious, loving, and caring than Americans. Now, I say that if God will show mercy to this country, it has everything to do with the kindness of people in this country to the suffering around the world. And GFA world, we are able to do this to millions of people because people are saying, I can give money to buy 10 chickens or a goat or a buffalo or a sewing machine. And we literally do what the money is given for. We don't, spend on something else. This is like a COVID season. You wouldn't believe the millions of people that are helped because our people's kindness, they pray and give, not because all Americans are very rich, but even people that don't have much, they say, this year we can give this gift to somebody poor in Nepal instead of giving to somebody living in America. So, you know, in America also we have need. I'm not saying we don't have need, but we should be more concerned about the poor in a world that is so desperately in need, especially during the corona virus pandemic.
We are on the phone this afternoon with Dr. K.P. Yohannan. He is the director and founder of Gospel for Asia. We need to take a quick break and say thank you to our sponsors. We have a lot more to talk to you about. Dr. Yohannan, please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right. That's my first break, and we'll come right back in.
You know, you do very well. Your voice and the sincerity and depth is, I mean, I do this hundreds of times, radio people, so I can tell you, Jim, I'm delighted just talk to you. You're not a professional person doing it. You are professional, but it's really significant. Thank you for this.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment, and I'm happy to help GFA anytime I can, and I really am blessed by all that you do. We are back this afternoon with Dr. K.P. Yohannan. He is the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believers Church. That's an indigenous church in South Asia. He's the founder and director of Gospel for Asia, and they are ministering in many different countries. I think you mentioned, Dr. Yohannan, 15, 16 countries now in South Asia?
Yeah, we are in 16 nations, and now we are expanding to Africa very, very soon because of the huge need, orphans and problems and starvation. That's our plan. So we continue to reach out to more places where Jesus' name was never heard or people are in great need, and they need to be touched with Christ's love, both in words and also in deed, and that's what we're doing.
You know, Dr. Yohannan, I don't want to go any further until I extend the love that Skip Heitzig and Lenya Heitzig wanted me to share with you. They love you. They pray for you. They told me to say hello to you. And Chip and Larissa Lusco also expressed the same. So I wanted to make sure you heard from our Albuquerque Calvary Church contingent how much they appreciate you as well.
Well, you know, I must tell you, I don't know if Skip knows this or not. I was there when he had 18 people at the first Bible study, and even today he is kind of my pastor. I listen to him continually. I don't know any teacher in the world I listen to and learn more than from Skip Heitzig. He is genuinely an amazing creation.
Well, we're all blessed to have him, but we're blessed to have you as well. I've been fortunate to be part of this church now for over 40 years, and I've seen you in the pulpit.
Wow.
Here, listened to you on the radio. And Dr. Yohannan, when we first started our conversation this afternoon, my heart was touched because you shared that you had been reading about starvation in China, and I could just hear in your voice that you have this heart to see starvation end in the world. Do you see that as God? God will do that and use the church to do it?
I want to believe that. You know, St. John chapter 10, verse 10, you know, the scripture says Satan's purpose is to destroy, tear down, and to kill. And my thinking is, all physical problems, coronavirus, all the curse has nothing to do with God. It has to do with Satan and his aim to destroy human beings. And the more we can bring the love of Christ and share with them. I just want to believe this whole world is going to be filled with the love of God and freedom, which also means they'll be freed from poverty. Because, you know, even Jesus' prayer, you know, he said, you pray like this, Father, you are in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. And it is in God's mercy and plan that people don't starve. And if that be the case, I want to believe in this our generation, we will do whatever we must do, the church as a whole, to eliminate poverty and starvation. And that I want to believe like that. And I think it's happening. And I can't tell you proof. For what I'm telling you is what's happening with our own little ministry and how many others are doing like that. And it's an amazing thing.
Earlier, you gave us a statistic, which is still shocking to me, that the problem in terms of death and starvations, say the coronavirus is only 5% of the problem, but 95% of the problem causing death is starvation in areas like India. So we're on the phone today talking about the Christmas Critter Campaign from Gospel for Asia. And I want to let our listeners know that you can go to our website, which is knkt.com, and there's a banner right there, and you can click right on the Christmas Critter Campaign. It'll take you right to the Gospel for Asia website and allow you to make donations from really, I hope I'm not trivializing this, but to me, these are fun gifts to give to people because you know that it's going to bring a smile to people's faces. You know that they're going to be blessed by having food. It's a sustainable thing that they're going to cherish and take care of and help with their entire community. So, for example, you can buy chickens, $11 for two. So if you were to give $110, you'd be buying a bunch of chickens, 20 chickens. Lambs are $65. Goats are $140 per pair. You can provide a winter clothing package. You can provide mosquito nets. You can buy a sewing machine. Dr. Yohanan's already shared just $100 would allow women to learn, men and women really, to learn a new trade and to sew clothing and to sell it and actually be in business. And it seems so simple. I don't want to get on Americans, but we just don't have the same perspective, Dr. Yohanan, that you have because you've lived in Kerala. You've seen this. You've lived there. You have a lot of siblings that still live in that country, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, thing is, one of the reasons we encourage parents to spend their money to send their children to India, China, Nepal, all these countries at least once in their lifetime when they are in schooling age, because it will change them forever. And that's what we did with our children. They were born in the United States, but we'll take them to the field, and they are never the same again. Because, you know, we can blame our people in America. They don't know this. I mean, every home, they got a refrigerator or running water or, you know, electricity. And but they have not experienced. Oh, yeah, people who lived through the Depression years, maybe a little bit the experience, the Second World War in Europe. But generally speaking, I don't think any American family wake up in the middle of the night that the children are screaming without stop, saying that we are dying, I can't handle it, I'm hungry and I'm dying, and the parents don't know what to do, must not a drop of milk, or no refrigerator, no running water. You know, all they can do, maybe go out and pluck some grass from trees and give them to eat, which actually happened. I know stories like that. So, but when they hear things like this, what we are talking about, Jim, they need to understand this is God's giving the opportunity for us to respond by faith. Yes, Thomas touched Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, my God!" But Jesus said, "Thomas, this is great, but if we can believe without seeing, there's a greater blessing." So I say to my brothers and sisters that are listening to us, by faith, although you don't live in Bangladesh or in Kathmandu or in Peshawar or in Dhaka or Mumbai, you can be by faith touching the lives of thousands of people. Someday you will meet them in heaven, and that's it's an opportunity, not a burden, that we should run for.
Dr. Yohannan, I'm going to maybe reach a little bit here because I'm always wanting to contrast what Americans perceive and what's really happening in the world. And I know that in the United States, we have young people that are graduating from high school and they're looking for careers. And it seems like in our culture that our culture wants to promote young people and help them get jobs and all of these types of things. But in India, that's not always the case because you have a class system that really almost prohibits people in a certain class from succeeding. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, the biggest crisis is, you know, this is one thing. I don't know if this is exactly true or no, but I'm told up to 30%, 30, of the medical doctors in America are from India or from Nepal and so on. Why I'm saying that? These are people who got education because they are upper caste. But then there is, like in India, one-third of the country of India are made up of people called Dalits or untouchables. I don't know how to compare that to the United States. It's just hard to explain. Yeah, you can go back to the era of slavery, but it's nothing compared to that. These Dalits, 270 million people or more, are less than human beings in their value. The caste system of India, caste system is everywhere, I think, but particularly they are subhuman. They are abused and mistreated, and I don't want to talk bad about the country of India. India as a nation don't believe in it constantly, but the caste system has cost for millions of people not even have the chance to get into school to study, although it is changing. And these are the poorest of the poor. And it's very unfortunate what caste system has done to humanity. Mahatma Gandhiji fought against it, and even today our Prime Minister fights against it in India. But the reality, there are places a Dalit child cannot get an education because he happened to be a Dalit. And but they can go. People can go to the website and simply type in the plight of the Dalits or the suffering or the poverty. They will be in shock to see the suffering that is not only in words but in pictures put out by World Bank and all kind of organizations. But our concern is how can we become the answer to this in the name of Jesus? That's what Mother Teresa always said. She cleaned the lepers' wounds and embraced them. They asked, why on earth you do this thing? She will always say, because of the love of Christ. And only in Christian faith there is compassion.
Well, you have certainly done some amazing things because you are ministering directly to people that are considered in their own country untouchable, and you're bringing them a way to live. You're bringing communities chickens and lambs and goats and water buffaloes and mosquito nets, and I'm just reading through a list of all the things that people can donate for you to pick up, and they can designate these items. Or they can just give a donation. But I think this gives a picture of how valuable. I go back to the chickens just because I know a neighbor that has chickens, and I guess I should know more about chickens. I've never been involved in farming, but in this simple little community, modern community that I live in, this family is producing eggs with probably 10 or 12 chickens, and they have so many of them that they're giving them away. in the neighborhood. And I'm envisioning that same thing in a poor, poverty-stricken village in India.
Well, you know, I can tell you, this is a funny thing. I never said this before. When I was growing up as a small boy, we live by a riverbank in southern India. And my mother had 22 chickens. I was a five-year-old little kid. And I remember every day these chickens lay egg, and my mother would give us, you know, for what we need, but she would sell those eggs to others and sometimes give away free to help other people. And the money she get, she will use it to help with the missions and give it to church and all that. So, you know, while my family was not, you know, in poverty or things like that, yet those 22 chickens, I remember my mother, her favorite thing was raising these chickens and get eggs and use it for all kind of purposes. So this is, and we didn't, I mean, they're simple to grow. And we have families who actually built their homes and raised their children, put them in college through goats. We purchased and gave it to them. One family, we gave them two pair of goats, and finally they had 72 of them multiplied, and they began to help their communities, and they built their own nice little house in the village from the income from the goats. But one time they were living in terrible poverty, and the beginning was Christmas gift. We called the Critter Campaign. That was the beginning of that blessing for that family. Of course, they experienced God's love through all this.
Yes. Dr. K.P. Yohanan, the founder and director of Gospel for Asia, is visiting with us today about the Christmas Critter Campaign. You can find out how you can donate and help families in South Asia. Over 16 countries will benefit from this. You can go to www.knkt.com. That's our website here at the radio station. And click right on the Gospel for Asia Critter Campaign. There's a banner when you get to the website. We have two or three banners there, but if you just patiently wait for, you know, 10 seconds, you'll see their banner. You click on it. That takes you right to the Gospel for Asia page. And you can go all the way through the amazing list of items that you can even buy water filters, and you can buy sewing machines, as Dr. Yohanan has already told it. And these are just so valuable. Every dollar that you spend, the ministry has got all kinds of financial accountability in place. They're buying these animals and these products directly from suppliers in the countries where they are providing them. So it's benefiting the economy all the way around. And as you've just mentioned, this family, they got two goats, they already have 72, and they've bought a house. I love those kind of stories. Could you share two or three more with us, Dr. Yohanan?
Yeah, you know, one of my really, really favorite stories, you know, I spent 2 years in Rajasthan, which is the northwest of India, and that is the place exclusively they use camels. No other place in India they have camels as a means of transportation and carrying materials. And our workers, they were in the most remote area in that state, and found out if they can get a camel to a family, which is like, not like here, husband, wife, and two children. No, it's a joint family. They have 15, 20 people or 30 people in the joint family. They live together as a community. And that one camel would give them tremendous amount of income as a transport materials, 30, 40 miles from where they are, and bring back materials from other places like food items, salt, and all kind of things. And we learned through that one camel we bought for that one joint family became such an inspiration. Eventually, we were able to start a school for the children that never go to school, and dug well. And we spent little money, but people give their labor and their hard work. So the whole community got impacted, and so all began with one camel. rescuing people from. This is one of my classic story because I lived in that state for 2 years, and I know the difficulties. It's a desert community of nomads, and so you know, like in Nepal, in the valleys of Kathmandu, so many families that found way out of poverty through things we have done, like teaching the women. We start a place where they can learn to become seamstress. In Delhi, we did that. So 15, 20 ladies come every day for 30 days. They are taught and they are given a machine when they finish their learning, and they become the reason for the income to sustain their family. So these are so beautiful experiences. I realize that, of course, they ask always, why on earth do you do this kind of thing? Who are you? Of course, we always tell them the classic statement, it's all because of the love of Jesus. And we are not ashamed of what we do because of Jesus and his name and what he means to us. You know, this is the full gospel. Not telling a poor dying man, here's a gospel tract, now you read and get to heaven. No, I think the love of Christ is to lay a hand on him and pray for him and bring him some food and medicine and embrace them, because that is what Crypto Campaign is all about every year for us.
Yes, and what a special Christmas gift it is to provide this. You mentioned something in your last statement there about wells. You also can buy a Jesus well. Tell us about how valuable fresh water is in these countries.
This may be one of the most crucial things. More people dying of dirty water or lack of clean water in the world today than people imagine. Go to the website and I tell people, look at it. And in a village of maybe 80 families, if there's a well to drink water, usually that belongs to upper caste in some places like Nepal. And the poor people, Dalits, cannot draw water from there. They had to walk miles and miles to draw water from ponds, often dirty and unhealthy. And this is where we go to a community and with the help of the officials there, government officials, they give us a space to put up a well, a deep well. And every case, we have done tens of thousands of them by now. Clean water comes out, which now means pure, clean drinking water for the whole community. We call these Jesus well because of, you know, what Jesus said. You know, he is the water of life. And amazing, you know, how many people ask the question, why you name this thing called Jesus well? And we explain to them what Jesus means for our life, for now and for eternity. And that's one of the projects we do throughout the year continually. Need is for hundreds of thousands of wells to be done for communities that don't have clean water by any means. And what is available to many are dirty, polluted water.
Dr. Yohanan, I want to emphasize one other thing that I've learned from you. In fact, I learned this when you were in the pulpit here at Calvary some years ago, and you explained that the language barriers, even in a country like India, are something that we don't expect. For example, in the States, we can travel from, you know, to New Mexico, to Boston, Massachusetts, and they think we have funny southwestern accents, and we think they have funny eastern accents. But when you walk 50 miles in India, you may be in a community that speaks a completely different language than the village you're from. So you have people trained throughout the whole country that know how to communicate.
Yeah, you know, the grace of God, as we read in the scriptures, you know, Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and languages are thousands. India, over 1,500 different dialects and languages are spoken. In Nepal, the same thing. In these many, many nations, same thing. And by God's mercy and grace, in all these cultures, we have people that are part of the Holy Church. And they are trained very well to communicate with our people about the love of God and also to help. And we have people, medical doctors been trained from communities that I don't speak their language, but now they can serve among those people when, you know, hundreds of these poor people, women and old and young, come to them. Although he's a medical doctor, he's not talking to them in English language. He's talking to them in their dialect, and they're able to communicate and help them. So knowing the language of the people in the local areas removes a huge barrier. And one of our great strengths is that we have workers that represent over 300 languages that serve God with us in all these countries. You know, I go to many places, I don't speak the native language, but thank God there are brothers and sisters who speak the language that I can communicate if I had to teach them or do something, which, you know, which is very rarely I do. But, you know, they're able to do their own work because they know the language and they are well trained to do it. And all our 52 seminaries, by the way, all these countries, they're all in local languages, not in English language.
Mm. Well, again, I want to emphasize, this is all part of Gospel for Asia. You have seminaries. You have people that do construction and you build churches. And the churches are the classroom and they're the hospital and they're the place you go to worship a few times a week. So all of the assets that Gospel for Asia has are just part of the community on a daily, hourly basis. Everybody is constantly being blessed by what Gospel for Asia, and God is using that ministry to really affect and build up the lives of people that normally would not be, as you've already used the word, they're untouchable.
Yeah, you know, this is a biblical pattern. You go and share the gospel, and local community become a worshiping Eucharist community, like in Albuquerque, and the people share their resources and pray together, work together to help one another, and the whole community is blessed in every way, and the local church where 300-400 people can sit, they, you know, the people themselves often build that. We provide some help for material things, brick and cement and steel and all that, but people do that, and that is not just for Sunday. That's where microfinance work take place, and food distribution and literacy training is one of the big thing. You know, in many places, 90% of the adults do not read and write, and we have literacy training program for the adults in 14 major languages now, and which means in 3 months' time, somebody who never read or read or can read now able to read and write, which is a massive thing when it comes to their health and the hygiene and reading God's word and all kind of things. So it is a holistic, total embracing of soul, spirit and body, and caring for them in the love of God, regardless of caste, creed or religion. And this is absolutely biblical pattern that you know, the apostles and the followers of Christ, wherever they went, they cared for the poor and the needy, but they never forgot to tell them the way to God for reconciliation and come in fellowship with a God that they did not understand before. And that is the most beautiful thing in the world, that, you know, Jesus died for the whole world and paid the price for them to be reconciled to the Father. And that is the beauty of watching these communities experience the well-being here on earth, the same time they experience eternal life right now through God's mercy.
As you share this with our listeners, I know a lot of people are interested in supporting the Christmas Critter Campaign with Gospel for Asia and all the other amazing ministries that are going on in South Asia. To do that, it's really simple. Just go to our website, www.knkt.com. Click on the Christmas Critter Campaign. We also have a banner up for the Gospel for Asia COVID response. And these are all things that the ministry is deeply involved in and helping people all over the world. Dr. Yohanan, I've got to ask you something that is totally off script, and I hope that you consider it to be fun. But you have traveled all over the world, and I want to know, what is your favorite food in all of this world to eat?
I think you'll be shocked. You know, when I first went to California and found out In-N-Out, even today, strange enough, wherever I go, I look for if there's an In-N-Out place, I can go get a hamburger and their french fries.
I love that. That's so special. Dr. Yohanan,
really, I mean, I'm amazed how they make that, and it's my favorite food right now.
That is so fun. Thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Jim. Tell everybody my love and greetings and all the brothers and sisters in Albuquerque. Thank you again. Thank you.
We look forward to talking to you soon. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.